Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Thanks so much for listening to this clip of Reception Perception. New episodes release Tuesdays and Thursdays.
This is Reception Perception, the show. Now, James Coe and Matt Harmon.
Let me talk about the Jets here for a hot second. This was, in my opinion, the best game by a million miles by Aaron Rodgers here. We're talking big-time production overall. Devontae Adams just went bazonkers, man. 12 targets, 9 grabs, 198, and 2 touchdowns. And Matt, almost all of that came in one half, in the second half of that football game. Had almost nothing in the first half. And then just exploded down the stretch here. But who are the real Jets, man? Because the Jets passing offense has really kind of sort of stunk up the joint for much of the season. And in this game, I get it, great matchup against Jacksonville. Beautiful matchup against Jacksonville. But still, I think there was so many positives to take away from the Jets passing game. But who are the real Jets in terms of a passing offense?
I don't know. It's crazy that like the season is over.
Oh, it's so
it's open. So over, right? I mean, this was one of the most irrelevant games of the week from a playoff perspective, right? Because obviously the Jags are cruising to like, you know, maybe another top pick in the draft, yep. And then the Jets have been eliminated quite some time ago. And yet still, this was a pretty fun game. You know, it was a pretty fun game to watch. We had some big performances. Devontae Adams, according to Rich Cimini, had 135 receiving yards in the final 4 minutes of regulation, which is the most by any player in a game this century.
That's insane.
James Coe, 100 years. That's pretty crazy stuff. Big-time performance by him. Big-time performance by Garrett Wilson had a couple of nice plays in this one, too. A lot of just... For what happened in this game, the Jags defense sucks. And I mean, they're horrible. They had like linebackers matched up on some of these receivers at some points. Like, what are we doing here? This isn't even like, I'm obviously it's a hard offense to defend because Adams and Wilson are good. They're really, really good receivers. Like Adams, people wanted to put him on watch at times this year. He can very much still play. And now that him and Rodgers, like, I think it was probably unfair to have really high expectations of them right away. Because, yeah, I mean, they obviously played together for a number of years, but they also hadn't played together in a few years, you know? So once they got their like timing and chemistry back, these last couple of weeks, it has been vintage Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams in terms of just being right on the same page. So he's still really good. Wilson's still really good. But it's not that hard of an offense to defend. You shouldn't, like, they're not doing any of that stuff we talk about with Miami. Like, okay, yeah, we're motion and a little bit of disguise and all that stuff. It's pretty much just like, hey, we're going to line up. We're gonna have ball plays, and we're going to get the ball to these two guys. It's not like they're going to put you in a matchup bind where like, ah, shit, how did we have a linebacker on Davante Adams? You shouldn't have that happen ever. But the Jags defense is not very good. So that was a big part of this week. But, yeah, the last 2 weeks since the season has basically been donezo. Jets offense has looked alive. Rodgers has looked pretty sharp, and also, by the way, looks like he's having a lot of fun. So I don't know what any of this means for the future, but certainly the last 2 weeks it's been a reminder of how good these guys can be when everything's working.
Question: I'm gonna just throw this out there because I'm thinking about everything that happened in week 15, and Matt, everything that happened in week 15 lines up for Aaron Rodgers to go to Cleveland and play for Kevin Stefanski. Tell me, am I insane for thinking that that would be the absolute perfect marriage for a number of different reasons, both positively and negatively? I could see him going to Cleveland and him absolutely exploding and being great on with that Stefanski scheme. I could also see him going there, getting hurt in three plays like he did in New York and being gone for the rest of the season, and Cleveland having to then scramble for yet another few backup quarterbacks, because that is what Cleveland does. That is exactly what Cleveland does. They need another five quarterbacks to play every single season, but they're going to bring in Rodgers and make it all splashy. But no, I just, like I said, I feel like everything that happened, Jameis getting benched, Rodgers talking about how he wants to continue playing on, all of these things are all culminating, and it just feels like Rodgers to Cleveland could be a really good marriage.
Before I answer that incredibly juicy question, I just want to put these last 2 weeks into context for Rodgers. Rodgers in the last 2 weeks is top five in EPA per play. He is top five among quarterbacks.
Come on, man.
Top five among quarterbacks in passing first downs. He's got, you know, no interceptions, four touchdowns. He is top five in air yards per attempt. He's actually fourth in air yards per attempt.
Launch it, baby. Launch it.
And he's also the fourth highest quarterbacks in terms of EPA gathered on scrambles. If you throw out Drew Lock, who isn't even like really, he's not even starting for the Giants, he's actually third behind Josh Allen and Jaden Daniels in terms of EPA on scrambles. Like, he has actually picked up some plays with his legs of late. So I don't know. At times I thought Rodgers is probably, maybe he's just going to call it. Like, he clearly wants to play 17 games. He doesn't want to be benched because I think it's like a big deal to him that he missed time last year. He doesn't want to go out as like a guy that's like missing time throughout the course of his career. I could see him at the end of the year being like, okay, like, you know what? I played really well at the end of this stretch. I showed I can still do it. Let me retire on my own terms. But I do like your scenario of him going to Cleveland, just because, one, like, the Jameis Winston stuff is cute and it's fun, but coaches get sick of that shit after a while. Like, and then Cleveland's already sick of it. Cleveland didn't even want him to be the QB2, right? They had DTR as the QB2 behind Deshaun Watson before Watson got hurt. You know, like, they don't even really, they're not committed at all to Jameis Winston. He's a free agent. I don't think he's going to moonwalk into a starting job, despite the fact that, yes, I would absolutely love to see him moonwalk into a starting job, because he is going to Ponzi scheme receiver production. Jerry Jeudy, I was talking to, we talked about that piece that I wrote where Jerry Jeudy is like top five in receiving yards. And by the way, Jerry Jeudy was, before last week, fourth in the NFL in receiving yards. He was 44th in weeks 1-8. That's the Jameis Winston effect, baby. Amazing. You're going to leap 40 spots in terms of the receiver rankings from a yardage standpoint. I would love to see him elevate some wayward receiver next year, like the Jameis Winston rehabilitation program for wide receivers, something like that. But I don't know. I'm skeptical of that, just because Winston wears out his welcome from a turnover perspective. This was just a brutal, brutal turnover game for Winston.
Ridiculous, but dude.
My question is just like, they already have like an albatross salary with Deshaun Watson. How the hell are they going to, what are they going to do with Rodgers from That's a salary perspective in Cleveland? I don't know if that can work, but I do think system-wise it might be able to work.
Oh, system-wise is perfect, dude. Primarily under center, you're going to let this guy go up there and make a bunch of checks and calls and stuff. It's like, dude,
they don't do a lot of motion.
They don't do a lot of motion. That's my point. Like, it's great. You know, you get a good run game behind Aaron Rodgers too. I mean, play action off of that. Oh my good. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? It would be great. It would be wonderful.
I don't think that. Aaron Rodgers would like playing with Jerry Jeudy though. Let me just get that out. Like, I mean, if he's been frustrated at times with Garrett Wilson, like, you know, he's open, but he's not where he's supposed to be from, like, this route depth is at 6 yards and you're at eight because you took a little extra step to get. He's definitely not going to like playing with Jerry Jeudy. But I don't know. It would be interesting from a stylistic perspective. I could see the fit there.
Oh, my gosh. I just think it would be a lot of fun. To be honest with you, I think it would be. I think from a schematic fit, it makes a lot of sense. From a narrative fit, there's multiple ways for this to go. Again, I just want to be clear. It's not all positive. It could absolutely be a very Cleveland-esque, just like it was a very New York Jets-ish marriage here with Aaron Rodgers, providing a lot of hope, taking all that hope away, leaving you with an empty feeling. That's 100% what could happen in Cleveland too. And you know, like I said, from a narrative standpoint, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of boxes that could be checked here with Rodgers playing for Kevin Stefanski.